My name is Christine Ahn. I'm the founder and executive director of Women Cross TMZ. We're a global movement of women mobilizing for peace on the Korean Peninsula.
Why do you think the conflict in Korea has gone on this long without resolution?
I think that there are tremendous beneficiaries of the unresolved conflict. I mean, we know Lockheed Martin that sells missile defense systems recently installed one despite the protests of South Koreans as a way to project power against China. And so I think that there are tremendous interests, whether it's the multinational defense contractors that make a killing off of the Pentagon budget, or it's you know, the think tanks that are financed by these defense contractors. You know, I just think that there is vested interests that profit from war that are a huge obstacle to achieving peace on the Korean Peninsula.
You mentioned that we're at an historic moment with this U.S. Congress being the most diverse and having the most women in it ever. Where do you think the demilitarization and redefining
U.S. foreign policy?
U.S. foreign policy and redefining security, where does that start?
I think it starts with us starting to ask, what are the things that give us security? And if you ask any normal person on the street, what makes you feel secure? What would they tell you? They would say, having a good, decent paying job, having affordable health care, having a home, having food, clean water, clean air. I think those are the things. And I think once we define that, we won't always look to retired generals or white men in think tanks or, you know, that have no concept of these things defining what we mean by security. And so once the control over who is defining security and how it's defined shifts in terms of who is defining that. And I think now we have this historic opportunity with women that are willing to challenge the status quo, women that are willing to come up against, you know, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez saying bold things like we should tax 80%, you know, 80% of the wealthiest, you know, 1%, and we need to, we don't have money for free college or Medicare for all, but we have money to sink $700 billion in a military budget. I think when we have more and more people, and not just women, but, you know, we know Denis Kucinich back in the day wanted a Department of Peace. I think when we have more of us willing to speak up and say, this is not okay, this is not about the future, this is not what's going to bring the American dream and what's possible for the greatness of this country.
In your talk, you listed five steps towards achieving peace: peace building, demilitarization, leadership and gender-based analysis, lifting sanctions, and redefining securities. Could you just speak to each of those briefly?
Yeah, well, I mean, Women Cross DMZ, our organization, in partnership with the Nobel Women's Initiative, which is an organization started by Nobel Women Peace Laureates, WILF, Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, and a coalition of South Korean women's groups, we are launching a global campaign to end the Korean War with a peace treaty. And so by 2020, which is very soon, but that's also because we have a historic moment, not just in terms of the rising power of women and not just in terms of the crisis that we're all facing, an economic crisis, an ecological crisis, you know, social crisis, but it's also in terms of what's happening on the Korean Peninsula. And you have a president in South Korea. Many Americans have no idea about this, but there was a candlelight revolution that took place in South Korea. One in three South Koreans, 16 million people, took to the streets to protest weekly to impeach a president. I think we have a lot to learn from South Koreans about how we can take down a corrupt, immoral president and install somebody that represents the voices of the people. And so President Moon Jae-in of South Korea is that. He was a human rights lawyer. His mother was born in North Korea. He knows personally about the impact of the unresolved war. And you have a president like him now in power. He's only in office till 2021. We have to make the peace agreement happen soon. And so we have a very specific window. And so that's why women are mobilizing right now to see through a peace treaty. And those are the things that, in addition to the peace treaty, we are going to be calling for. Because this is our moment to do that. And if we don't put our attention and our focus on U.S. foreign policy, we'll never have the money to achieve the domestic agenda that we want to see happen.
And can you just tell us about any DMZ resources or other resources where we might get a history that has the narrative that isn't in the popular media?
Absolutely. Well, you can go to womencrossdmz.org. We have a ton of resources where the campaign is going to put up a website soon, which we'll link to on the Women Cross DMZ website. If you Google the Alliance of Scholars Concerned About Korea, it's Korean American and American scholars that have a critical history of Korea. I think that Tim Shorrock, who's a journalist at The Nation, he's written extensively. He's coming to Albany in a few weeks. Those are the people. Bruce Cummings, you should read Bruce Cummings. He's the foremost historian on the Korean War. There are alternative voices that just don't get to see much of the light of day in mainstream media. But, yeah.
That's probably a big reason why the military is held in such esteem in pop media. How would you navigate a conversation with somebody who maybe doesn't know the narrative that's not in the popular culture?
I would say that we should tell Americans why they say, oh, Korea, where is that even in the first place? And then I think once you just start to tell a little bit about the critical history, how Korea was divided, how we destroyed 80% of North Korean cities during the Korean War, how we dropped more bombs on North Korea than in all of the Asia Pacific theater. We fought Japan in World War II. More than that, we splattered more napalm on ordinary civilians that even Winston Churchill found that to be just so unconscionable. I think when you tell these things about the hidden history or the forgotten history of the Korean War and what the US has done, I think that you start to understand, not to justify the authoritarian or repressive regime in North Korea, but I think it gives you a little understanding of how they became so, they developed this bombshelled mentality that is just about survival and to prevent another Korean War from taking place. But I think once you bring in some of these facts, I think it helps explain a little bit why we need to end this war, how maintaining the policy of sanctions and more aggressive military posturing and isolation has not achieved the results, which for 70 years has been about regime change in North Korea. It hasn't worked. It hasn't worked anywhere around the world. I think it's time for a new approach, and peace has been the greatest deterrent.